On an afternoon in December, Utah Foundation President Peter Reichart was Rod Arquette's guest on Talk Radio KNRS. The subject was alternative fuel vehicles, and one caller to the show made his preference clear.
When it came to buying a Mazda for 10 grand or a Nissan Leaf for 10 grand, and I don't have oil changes, and I don't have to get rid of a muffler system, I have one gear for a transmission, and this thing is 0 to 40 in like 2 seconds, and it's a blast to drive, man.
Even with that enthusiasm, a new research report from Utah Foundation shows he's a rarity. Only about 1.6% of the new vehicles sold in Utah are powered by electricity. And while the number is growing, we're still a long way from the point where they could have a significant impact on Utah's notorious problems with air quality. This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. On the program, Peter Reichart and Rod Arquette talked about the opportunity that alternative fuel vehicles present. While the early adopters have been civic-minded individuals, delivery trucks and other larger vehicles could show more benefit to the community sooner.
The reality is the cars that we're driving now are a lot cleaner than they were just 15 years ago. And that's true basically of trucks, the heavy-duty vehicles out there, whether it's garbage trucks or buses or delivery trucks. But the problem is those things last a long time. They could be on the road for years.
Yeah, they're built that way. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a garbage truck that I see driving around in Mill Creek sometimes that literally looks like it's from the 60s. And so, getting those older vehicles, which are real big offenders, finding ways to get those older vehicles off the road is really going to be critical. And I hate to break it to, the classic car owner, but they're not doing anybody any favors driving their Mustang around on the weekends.
Yeah. But there was a survey, I can't remember, it was either this year or last year, where it came out that, Utahns are concerned about air quality.
Yes.
But when you ask them if they've done anything about it, most of them say no.
Right. And I think a lot of it is because of that consumer fear factor, mm-hmm. that they just think, and I think that's changing. I mean, think about just the fact that owning a Tesla is now a status symbol,
mm-hmm.
whereas,
mm-hmm.
Some of the original electric cars or hybrid cars were a little nerdy looking,
mm-hmm.
Now it's cool. So that's going to create some market momentum, some keeping up with the Joneses that we Americans like to do. And we already see that happening. And also just the experience. If you've ever asked somebody what it was like, mm-hmm. they drove a Tesla, what did you think of it?
Mm-hmm.
And they're impressed by it. So that kind of the perception change is going to be really important. But also, as I mentioned before, just dealing with those fears that, if you want to go on a road trip, you don't have to worry about getting stranded because you ran out of
juice.
Charge.
Yeah. Could the government do more in their vehicle use? And I think you're right about this, city or state or county.
Sure.
I mean, are they moving in a direction to kind of lead the way or show people that, yes, we are doing something about it?
Sure. So,
are they?
They are. Some of them. To take an example, Park City is moving very aggressively toward an electric bus fleet, mm-hmm. which, is an unusual move for this country. Electric buses are big overseas, particularly in China, but making that move is a pretty aggressive move. UTA is making moves in that direction. Individual governments, when you look at the things that you could do in terms of garbage truck fleets, in terms of just the regular work fleets that may be necessary for personnel to do inspections or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Sending a signal is important, obviously, but also particularly with those heavy-duty vehicles, government can actually begin to make an impact because those heavy-duty vehicles can really are a big offender.
In the Utah Foundation research report, Driving Toward a Cleaner Future, Alternative Fuel Vehicles in Utah, the use of tax incentives was shown to be effective in removing barriers to the adoption of electric vehicles. And while trucks and buses represent only about 3% of all the vehicle miles traveled in Utah, they're responsible for one-third to one-half of vehicle emissions. That makes them an effective target for public policy. As co-chair of the Clean Air Caucus in Utah's state legislature, Republican Representative Stephen Handy has been active in the effort to reduce the pollution that chokes Utah's Wasatch Front cities during winter inversions. But he says we might have to wait a long time before there are enough private passenger vehicles on Utah's roads to have the same impact as trucks and buses.
Let's you and I do a little basic elementary school math. So we have, what, a quarter of a million registered cars or something like that in the state of Utah. And the Division of Air Quality said you'd have to have 50,000 cars before they could really say, okay, this is really, really making an impact. So whatever that percentage is, that's probably not going to happen for 10 years. And that's pretty discouraging that it's out that far on the horizon.
Handy's efforts have included making grant money available to Utah school districts to replace dirty diesel-fueled school buses with new ones that run on natural gas. They emit much less particulate and ozone pollution. Some of that grant money comes from a settlement with Volkswagen, which got in trouble for rigging its diesel passenger cars to cheat on emissions tests. In fact, new technology for natural gas vehicles is making them cleaner than ever before. Brett Brown is an executive with Dominion Energy in Utah, charged with promoting the use of natural gas as an alternative fuel, as well as making sure there are enough fueling stations to make it possible for both fleets and individuals to use it. He says natural gas is making a big difference right now with delivery trucks and other fleet users.
There's some definite success stories. And it's getting bigger every day. So on a national kind of footprint, UPS, United Parcel Service, has made a huge commitment. We have and are refueling some of the UPS trucks from our station in St. George. They have a large natural gas refueling station at their own site in Salt Lake. And across the nation, they're the largest committed fleet to renewable natural gas and natural gas in the country. Now, on a smaller perspective, when you say smaller, I mean the state of Utah, but we enjoy the Jordan School District that has over 100 buses that run on natural gas. And we're in the process of coming up with some new partnership opportunities between Dominion Energy and Jordan School District to even increase that benefit. We are also right now just completed a CNG station at the Salt Lake Airport where they've just purchased 18 new commuter buses to be able to help people commute from parking locations to the airport.
Brown says there are a couple of new developments with natural gas fuel that could make it even better in the future. One is a new kind of truck engine made by Cummins Westport that has practically no nitrous oxide emissions. Nitrous oxides, or NOx, are the precursors to the particulate pollution that plagues the Wasatch Front. And he points to another new technology, renewable natural gas. It's produced by agricultural and municipal facilities like the new Wasatch Resources Food Waste Digester in North Salt Lake. In addition to providing another source of energy, they keep methane out of the air before it's burned. And methane is among the worst of greenhouse gases, far more effective at trapping heat in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide. And for public policy going forward, Utah Foundation research has shown that targeting the adoption of alternative fuels for trucks, buses, and other large vehicles could potentially be more effective in reducing air pollution than incentives for private passenger cars. The research report, Driving Toward a Cleaner Future, Alternative Fuel Vehicles in Utah, is available on the Utah Foundation website at utahfoundation.org. Our thanks to UCARE, the Utah Clean Air Partnership, for grant funding that helped make it possible. Utah Foundation is a nonpartisan, nonprofit research group funded by business, philanthropic foundations, higher education, local government, and individual donations. Founded in 1945, our mission is to produce objective, thorough, and well-reasoned research and analysis that promotes the effective use of public resources, a thriving economy, a well-prepared workforce, and a high quality of life for Utahns. Utah Foundation seeks to help decision makers and citizens understand and address complex issues. Utah Foundation also offers constructive guidance to improve governmental policies, programs, and structures. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.